You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:05 PM with myself, Mark Walton, in the studio with Stephen Powell and Craig Forsyth. We've got two jumps meetings, one from Ayr and one from Exeter, accompanied by All Weather Racing on the Poly Track at Kempton Park. So plenty to get stuck into. And joining me in the studio to look ahead to the action is Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
Hello, Mark.
Are you well, sir?
Yes, not too bad indeed.
It's been a little while since we've done a podcast together, Andy. What have you been up to? Anything new?
No, really. Just, you know, working away, studying hard, keeping on top of the form.
Doesn't surprise me one bit.
Exactly, yeah. What else is there to do for me, really, yeah. And I'm just gradually working out a nice sort of list for the Cheltenham Festival, which is going to be upon us quicker than we care to imagine.
Mm.
So I like to be well prepared, and there are lots and lots of nice horses out this season, and the best is yet to come for me as well. I think we've got what should be another spectacular festival to look forward to.
Yeah, a little bit different going into this year's festival, that we haven't seen the absolute barrage of Willie Mullins horses that could go there and sweep all before them. Do you think it will be different this time round?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I mean, the great thing about it is we've got the Colin Tizzards of this world and Gordon Elliott, who, of course, been dominating in their own right in one or two categories. But yeah, don't let's be fooled by Willie Mullins. I think he's going to come to the festival armed with a battalion, and he'll leave with a potload as well. Don't forget, because of that quietness to his season in general, I think he's gearing up towards the festival. Sometimes, you know, a lot of them perhaps suffer from having such hard campaigns, but I think he may have learnt, even for him, lessons gone by, and he's still got huge representation in a hell of a lot of the good novices. And a lot of the races, if you notice as well, are very top-heavy with his horses. He could have, like, three or four horses that were all entered in, like the JRT, the Arkle and the RSA.
Yeah.
You know, Champion Hurdle, this, that, and the other. York Hill's entered in four races, and one of them's the Champion Hurdle.
Yeah.
And that's not a foregone conclusion that he won't take part in that, you know.
Mm.
Given that he's got Min in the Arkle and several others, like Bells Hill in the RSA. I mean, yeah, if the wheels come off Annie Power and Forheen, and at the moment we haven't seen them, it wouldn't surprise me if he shifts York Hill back. And don't forget that he's already beaten Yanworth, and Yanworth's second favourite.
Yeah.
And he beat him easily in the champion in the Neptune last year. So just what's his space with York Hill? It just wouldn't surprise me if he was parachuted into the race at the last minute.
Yeah. We've seen the Willie Mullins Champion Hurdle contender change quite a few times last
year,
didn't we?
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
I get where you're coming from there. Good thing you've got a bit of a Cheltenham portfolio built up, because we're going to go through the questions posed in the Monday during the Racing Post, and a few of these are looking ahead to some of the festival races. First question, Andy, the Supreme Novices Hurdle looks wide open with 8 weeks to go. Who do you fancy? Well, Moonracer is the 5-1 market leader in the anti-post market here. Finian's Oscar, 7-1, 8-1 for Chileos Emery. Ellie Beach, 12-1, 12-1 any second now. 14s for Charlie Parks, Crackmome and Mellon, 16-1 bar those. It is a harder race to get a handle on this time round. We normally have a real hot pot at the top of the market, don't we, for the Supreme, but it's 5-1 the field at this point.
Well, normally by now we've got a Willie Mullins short one, yeah, which we've had the last four or five seasons, and they've all came out the same route. They've all run in a maiden hurdle, and then they've gone to the Moscow Flyer, like Min did last year. I think Fahim didn't. What was the other one that won the going into the Champion Hurdle, having won the Moscow Flyer? It's 2 years in a row, wasn't it? Anyway, I can't remember what it is, but
Duvan,
of course. Yep. There you go, Duvan. Of course, it was Duvan. How did I not remember that? And had the obvious one.
Yeah.
But we haven't had that this season, and I think it's too late in the day to suggest that Mellon might be a later representative, because that was the big talking horse at the start of the season. He hasn't run yet. Maybe we might still see him. So a lot can happen between now and then. What I will say is I don't think Moon Racer's form he's worth a bag of soot. I think he's a really poor favourite here. I know he won the champion bumper, but you know, you look at the horses he's beaten this season. That race at Cheltenham, where it was a crawl and then he quickened up and you know, scrambled home from that Twist and Davis horse, which had been beaten a couple of times since. I'm not having that form. I'm yet to be totally convinced that Finian's Oscar is going to be a two-miler or good enough to be considered a grade one two-miler. He was really impressive at Hereford, but I thought he beat a really weak field for a grade one at Sandown. That Tolworth Hill the other day was a really poor race. You know, Capitan had won a race that I think it was the Kennel Gate, wasn't it, the time before Ascot, where he nicked it from the front on good ground. But it was a different kettle of fish the other day at Ascot, wasn't it, Sandown, when it was a soft ground slog, and it paid into the strengths of Finian's, who obviously stays further, being a 2.5 mile stroke 3 mile point to point winner. So I'm yet to be convinced about the front two in the market. I think the best horse in this field, this lineup, the Supreme Novices Hurdle, might not even make the gig, and that is the horse that won the Moscow Fly on Saturday, Any Second Now. Whether Connections all have an about turn or a rethink, he's open to question, because he very much looks like a horse for the future. He's only had two starts in his career, and this might come a little bit too quickly for him mentally. But ability-wise and time-figure-wise, there's nothing better on the clock so far this season than Any Second Now. They went a good gallop at Punchestown on Saturday. He quickened up well later on. He found plenty for pressure, and he knocked out a really good number and beat Crack Mom as well. It was a 3-on shot, representing that line that Willie Mullins has been tried and trusted over the years. Win a main hurdle, win the Moscow Fly, then go to Cheltenham, a short price favourite. Crack Mom couldn't cope with Any Second Now. It would be a travesty if Any Second Now didn't run in the Supreme Novices. Easily being the best novice hurdler in Ireland so far, we've seen over 2 miles. The English category isn't that strong.
Yeah.
It's an odd one, really, but he's the best horse 2 miles I've seen so far, Any Second Now.
Okay, 12-1 in the market if anybody wants to take a little chance on him at the moment for the Supreme Novices Hurdle. Second question, how do you rate Classic Chase winner, one for Arthur's chances in the Grand National?
If he gets soft ground, I think he's a player, because he did what not many horses can do at Warwick on that chase track, and that's come from behind. It's very much a rhythm track. You need to get into a good jumping vein. You know, we saw American in the novice chase early on in the day. He made all the running, jumped his rivals silly. Anything that was out the back door just kept constantly losing ground, making mistakes on that ground. It was difficult for horses to make up, but he did it. He also got nearly brought down at the first when Kaki de Dupree fell. Mm-hmm. He got stopped in his tracks. He was last with two circuits to run. He was still last but one with a circuit to run. And then he ended up winning. So you've got to have an amazing amount of stamina and the ability to grind out a result, and he did it. And he did it really well. I mean, the jump at the last was spectacular. Looked as though he just joined in. And he's already gone round Aintree, ran well in the Beecher Chase. Yeah, he got soft ground on the day, he'd be a serious contender.
25-1 in the market at the moment. One for Arthur. Third question, you've kind of just touched on it a little bit there as well. Could impressive Warwick winner American be in the mix for the RSHS?
Yeah, definitely. He's a lovely jumper, great way of going. His time figure at Warwick was excellent. He ran a really good fast circuit as well. He was the quickest circuit time on the card. And he'd beat a good field as well. I mean, I fancied Pobbles Bay. I know what Pobbles Bay is capable of. He's been clocking some fast times and good handicaps. He beat him very easily, pushed him to the limit. And I thought Champers and Ice ran really well in second, because he was a long, long way back. And I thought I'd upgrade his performance to get so close to American in the closing stages. He looks an out-and-out style. I think the 4 miler might suit Sam Champers on Ice based on his Albert Bartlett run and his profile. But
yeah,
American, if it's all about jumping and getting into a good rhythm, which you need to do in the RSA to maintain your position, then he's not to be underestimated.
Yeah, he's put himself into the mix in the betting there. Bells Hill 3-1, 10-1 for Coney Island and Our Duke, 12-1 for American and Mike Bite, 12-1 also for Polita Logan, 14-1 bar those for the RSA.
That is a good race this year, by the way.
Oh yeah,
shape that is probably one of the best. I think we've had the best series of novice chasers I can remember for a long time. Bells Hill impressive in Limerick, Coney Island just got beat by Our Duke in a very good Grade 2 in Leopardstown last time at fast time. Might bite if he would have stood on his feet. Would have beaten on my circuit times Thistlecrack by 20 lengths.
Wow.
When he fell at the last, he was 20 lengths clear on the comparisons on the circuit. He was going at an unbelievable speed that day when he tipped up. And then you got, you know, your floaters like Alpha de Zabo, Grade 1 hurdler. You know, we've seen so many good 3-mile novice chasers that, you know, this even in this far in advance, it's one of the building up to be one of the races of the festival.
Yeah. Let's move on to the next question. Who wins this Saturday's Clarence House Chase? Well, the market headed by Undersow at this point at 5-6. Armad is 2-1. 5-1 Cider Grugy, Specialty Ara 10-1. 12-1 Royal Regatta, Top Gamble 14s, 20s for Dodging Bullets, and 33-1 for Eastlake. We haven't seen many Willie Mullins raids this season. Are we going to see a successful one with Undersow?
Well, I mean, the Tingle Creek holds the key, doesn't it? Undersow came out on top. But Armad definitely went came out of the race with great credit, didn't he? He forced a good pace before then making a mistake and losing his position. But then he ran on very strongly again. You know, the track will suit him, right-handed, of course, again. And I think, he's entitled to finish a good deal closer to Undersow just because he's had a run under his belt as well. Gary Moore said beforehand he was likely to need the run that day. The prices, I'd probably just favour Armad on this occasion. Dangerous man to underestimate, Gary Moore.
Mm. Yeah. I think he bounced it. He was far too buzzy, wasn't he, on reappearance. He's always going to settle down from that. And we've seen him ping the fences before, haven't we, in the past. So 2-1 in the market at the moment. Armad is the nomination at this point. Fifth question. What do you think of the shock proposal to close Kempton? Been a big talking point all week, hasn't it? Your initial thoughts, and then where are you at now?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not as sad as some people are. I mean, it's obviously not great for the National Hunt game, but, you know, Kempton on a cold Wednesday night when they don't get many there, it's basically for the TVs and for the industry to keep ticking over. I don't think we're going to lose anything on that front. You won't be thinking, oh my God, there's no more Kempton evening meetings. That, you know, we're not crying into our soup there. But I do think the National Hunt course, it would be a severe loss. You know, the King George is a proper championship test. It tests the right kind of horse, doesn't it? The ones who are not got enough stamina to win at the festival over the Gold Cup trip, the likes of Wayward Lad down the years. They very much excelled around the speed tracks, the one-mans of this world, Florida Pearls. It rewards excellence, doesn't it, rather than, severe stamina.
Yeah.
And I think we need races like that because they can't all be, you know, slogs in the mud and, you know, down to the dyed in the wool horses. You have to have a good balance, and you take that away out of the programme, the tradition, then if you're left with a King George run at Sandown, you're very much getting the kind of horse that, we see that wins at the Gold Cup. So we like lots of we need variety, don't we? And to take Kempton out of that programme would definitely do away with one of the crown jewels. Like I say, the Jockey Club say it's all down to money and it's down to racing being the beneficiary. But I don't really see what putting an all-weather track in 20 miles away from Chelmsford brings to the table. You've already got Newmarket trainers catered for with Chelmsford. Why do you need another one there? It's an odd setup, really. I don't know the logistics of Kempton, but why couldn't they build Kempton like they did Newbury, where they've got all those lovely hotels and flats there, which they've got. They've made it look a spectacular kind of like nice sight on the environment without spoiling Kempton's landscape. They could easily do that at Kempton. You know, there's probably lots of places in and around where they could build all those houses and still keep the National Hunt course or the track itself. Yeah. I don't know, but ultimately, to lose the King George has got to be a backward step.
Yeah, plenty of trainers have said the same, and there's apparently plenty of opposition as well going to come in the come in the way of the proposed plans at Kempton. So we'll see how that develops over the next few weeks, months, and possibly even years. Has anything else caught your eye over the last week or two before we move on?
It's one of those ones that's probably caught me out. I'd probably have to think about it, but I mentioned on the radio this afternoon, I'm quite interested in the Triumph Hurdle this year. It's a race that is slowly developing along the way, but it's chugging along rather than sort of like speeding along. Defi de Soul and Charlie Parks at the top of the market, they definitely set a good standard over here. But the one I'm really keen on is this Denaria de Zabau, the Gordon Elliott horse, 16-1 currently with William Hill. I can't wait for her to run again because the form of her Cork race is working out really well. A time figure suggests that she's a very good horse in the making. And she's probably a horse to follow rather than a what's happened in the last 2 weeks because she ran probably about a month ago. But her form lines are working out really well of late, and she's the one horse I'm looking. She reminds me of Apple's Jade,
right?
You know, that kind of filly, soft ground, nice strong 4-year-old filly that will get the allowances. And we know that Gordon Elliott's capable of training the winner of the Triumph because he won it with Tiger Roll 3 years ago.
Yeah. Denaria de Zabau then 16-1 in the market for the Triumph, and that's the Monday jury for another week. We'll leave that there. We'll move on to Tuesday's action and we'll get Andy's thoughts in three races on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, thoughts of Andy Holding, starting in the 240 at Exeter, which is a Class 4 handicap chase, 2 miles and 3 furlongs. Is the triple field of 11 set to go to post for this one, Andy? Who do you think comes home in front?
Yeah, I'll take a chance with the top weight here. Grand Gold from the Jamie Snowden stable, off the back of a long layoff. And first run for Jamie, I thought he ran really well in a handicap hurdle down in Fontwell. The race went the way of the well-fancied Neil Mulholland train, Walt. Back in third was the horse that runs the track really well, Disputed. So I think that form is pretty solid. There was disappointments in the race, such as Raw Plaza and the pulled-up Burroughs Park, who'd both gone into the contest off the back of good runs. So for a horse basically running in his wrong discipline, i.e. he looks a three-mile chaser, certainly his point-to-point form suggests that. He's now back under his correct code, over a track which should suit. Paige Fuller takes 7 off. I think Grand Gold's going to run a big race there in that 240.
Grand Gold and the selection for Andy in the 240 at Exeter. Moving on to the 255 at Ayr next, a Class 4 handicap chase over the extended 3 miles and 2 furlongs, almost 3 miles and 3 furlongs, in fact. 8 of them to go to post here. It's going to take a real staying performance, Andy, and Norton Thorpe legend probably fits that bill. Arrives here on the back of a hat-trick, and staying looks to be his forte, to be fair.
Yeah, not only staying is his forte, Mark, but he's jumping and also wins him plenty of his races. Brian Hughes gets on really well with him. He seems to get a good tune. He seems to see a stride a long way out in the hands of Rebecca Menzies' charge. And we know he goes around the track as well because he was really impressive when he won here the last day. He went all the way around the outside. I do think he likes keeping away from horses, so small fields help. So with only 7 opponents, he's got a chance to race wide again. And even though the handicapper keeps sort of dishing out further punishment, he seems to be able to repel that. So why he's on a roll and why he's in such good form, there's no real reason to oppose him. So I'd stick with the four-time seeking Northern Thought legend.
Okay, who gives him most to worry about?
Well, you'd have to look at course and distance form. So it wouldn't surprise me if Kilby Chief bounced back to something like his best. He's just had a couple of runs this season. Obviously, he represents an informed stable, Lucinda Russell. And he was obviously pitched in quite deep last time out in the Borders National behind Harry the Viking. He didn't run too badly there, so he's probably one to have a look at a price.
Okay, so that's the each way angle, perhaps, or one at a price. But Norton Thorpe legend, the main selection for Andy in the 255 at Ayr. And the final race we look at is the 340 at Kempton. This is a conditions race over 6 furlongs. It's for the 3-year-olds. We'll start with Sutter County, Andy, highest rated in the race. Should be giving weight to all of these, but runs off levels. So, in regards to that, is Sutter County the one to beat?
Well, if your weight's a measured man, yeah, for a mark of 103, you'd suggest that. But I'd probably go against him here. I was really impressed with Visionary the other day for the Robert Cowell stable. It was a good time figure as well, that race to Wolverhampton. But I do like the form of that race. We've already seen it work out really well when Dazakam, who was third in that race in the Harrington Yard, went back to Wolverhampton and bolted up the other day. Gracious Tom, who was fifth, of course, that horse has gone on to win subsequently. So I think we're dealing with a decent bit of form. I think he's an improver. Like I say, even though he's strictly got a little bit to find on the book, providing he handles Kempton, then Visionary, I think, is going to give the favourite all the trouble he can handle.
All right, okay. Visionary then. The selection for Andy in the 340 at Kempton Park, as usual. A little bit of a quick summary, Andy, before you go. Just confirm your selections for us then.
Yeah, Grand Gold over at Exeter. Then we go to Ayr for their big race of the day. Northanthorpe Legend is expected to complete the four-timer. And I'll stick with Visionary, who was really impressive last time out, Wolverhampton.
Superb. Thank you very much, Andy. Good luck and enjoy on Tuesday.
No problem. Well done. Thanks, Mark.
There you go. The thoughts of Andy Holding on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:05 p.m. It'll be myself, Mark Walton, in the studio with Stephen Powell and Craig Forsyth for the meetings at Ayr, Exeter and Kempton. So plenty to get stuck into. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Tuesday's action.
ACCA 5 is William Hill's new ACCA insurance. It means if you have a 5 selection accumulator and one lets you down, you'll get your money back as a free bet. And it's available across all sports. ACCA 5, exclusive to William Hill. T's and C's apply.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.